The fall of 2016 changed everything. Standing at the feet of the Statue of Liberty the day after Trump's election, Carla Cornejo Villavicencio decided it was time to write the book she'd been avoiding since Harvard. Not the pitiful immigrant narrative publishers wanted, but something truer. Something that saw undocumented Americans as more than just laborers or dreamers. The result became The Undocumented Americans, focusing not on inspirational stories, but on day laborers, housekeepers, and construction workers, the people underground. Not heroes, she writes, randoms, characters. These are the stories of America's shadow workforce, people who clean our homes, build our cities, and care for our children, yet remain invisible in our national conversation. Their experiences reveal a parallel America, where survival requires creativity, community, and courage in the face of a system designed to exploit rather than embrace them. When disasters strike, undocumented workers become America's shadow first responders. After Hurricane Sandy devastated Staten Island in 2012, day laborers formed volunteer brigades, clearing damaged homes while government response lagged. The only people who had their shit together were the day laborers, remarked one woman on local radio. For Joaquin and others, volunteering offered a rare sense of belonging. This pattern began after 9/11, when undocumented immigrants cleaned toxic debris at Ground Zero. Milton Vallejo, former World Trade Center security, returned despite his status. With only plastic bags tied around his ankles, he waded through contaminated water for 12-hour shifts. Years later, these workers suffer from cancer, respiratory issues, and PTSD while living in fear of deportation. Paloma, now battling cancer, installed surveillance cameras and rushes through medical appointments to avoid detection. When crises end, the visibility and gratitude vanish. They needed us then, one worker observed. But what about now? In Miami's undocumented community, alternative medicine is necessity, not choice. When conventional healthcare remains inaccessible, parallel systems emerge. Herbalists prescribe papaya leaf to keep your insides young, sarasi for cleansing, and sapo tea for diabetes. Spiritual practitioners offer protective rituals for serious conditions. These networks extend beyond physical health to emotional well-being. Esme co-founded Mujeres en Solidaridad, educating domestic workers about rights and gender-based violence. Their subgroup supports immigrants at USCIS offices, where people are often disappeared into detention. For Esme, a survivor of Uruguay's dictatorship, this work provides a reason to exist. The consequences of exclusion are devastating. Salome's husband Harrison died at 46 after hospitals rejected him due to his undocumented status. They relied on a naturalist's treatments, documenting miracle oatmeal and I am doing everything I can to stay alive. Meanwhile, Villavicencio gained 70 pounds without medical explanation. When your body becomes a battlefield in immigration politics and seeking treatment risks deportation, these parallel systems become acts of resistance, ways of surviving in a system that denies your existence. In Flint, Michigan, the water crisis revealed America's environmental racism, with undocumented residents facing unique hardships. Warning notices appeared only in English, while Obama's emergency declaration brought National Guard uniforms that deterred undocumented families from seeking help. Some only learned about contamination from relatives in Mexico watching Univision. Lead exposure causes severe health impacts, high blood pressure, kidney damage, and intellectual disabilities affecting speech and memory. Children of color face disproportionate exposure, raising questions about their futures when the state has poisoned their bodies and minds. Families relied on bottled water and lukewarm showers since hot water increases lead absorption. When Governor Snyder ended free water despite replacing only half the affected pipes, Villavicencio concluded that the government wanted the people of Flint dead or did not care if they died. Consider Theodore, appearing older than 56, his wrinkles like tree bark. After losing his chocolate factory job when new owners demanded documentation, he shares his limited clean water with two rescued pit bulls. They can't really speak, he explains, but if they could speak, they'd have a lot to say, a fitting metaphor for America's silenced undocumented population. What happens to American children when their parents are deported? In rural Ohio, four siblings suffer after their father Javier's deportation, despite his 16 years in America and regular check-ins with immigration authorities. Each child struggles differently. Andres, 14, abandons wrestling to handle household duties. Omar, 11, remains stoic but grieving. Elias, 10, has nightmares that the world is going to crack open. And Greta stopped eating. Their mother, Patricia, works exhausting hours, refusing to leave. This is their country. Nationwide, only 42 people have claimed church sanctuary against deportation orders. 5-year-old Johnny Valderrama copes by treating Francisco, the man in the church, and Daddy as separate people. His sister breaks down at a vigil. They made it look like Dad died. These separations constitute state-sanctioned child abuse, traumatizing American citizens too young to understand immigration policy. The children become collateral damage in political battles, orphaned while officials claim to protect family values. What happens when undocumented immigrants grow old in America? After decades building our homes, caring for our children, and preparing our food, they face a harsh reality. No social security despite paying into it, no health insurance, no retirement plans, and minimal savings. For Villavicencia and millions of children of undocumented immigrants, the American dream has inverted, becoming about ensuring their parents can age with dignity in a country that never fully accepted them. When her father faces prostate cancer but refuses treatment because he wants to die, she confronts what she's been preparing for since arriving. Octavio, now paper thin, notes discrimination often comes from younger immigrants questioning older workers' abilities. What kills us is loneliness. Mercedes Soto, 56, fears aging here and plans to return to Mexico before her body fails. Outside a worker center, day laborers conduct an intervention for an alcoholic friend, showing how migrants create safety nets when official ones exclude them. For those who built America but were never allowed to belong, aging becomes the final, cruelest frontier. These stories challenge us to reimagine American identity. The undocumented experience involves creating parallel systems when excluded, finding dignity when denied humanity, and building community from the margins. In Miami, underground healthcare networks emerge when hospitals become deportation risks. After disasters, undocumented workers serve as essential first responders, then fade into invisibility. In churches nationwide, families maintain connections across borders and detention centers, not merely survival strategies, but acts of resilience revealing America's shadow workforce. What makes someone American? These individuals have built lives here, contributed to communities, raised American children, and shaped our culture. Their stories expose a contradiction. We depend on undocumented labor while criminalizing the laborers themselves. Behind every spotless hotel room, restaurant meal, or new building may be someone living in the shadows, someone who belongs to America, even if unacknowledged. Our national identity cannot be complete until we recognize these hidden Americans as neighbors and fellow humans deserving dignity.